All right, it's You Just Made the List time. It's therapy time here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Third hour here on this Friday afternoon as we sit here. Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, 1935 Mallory Lane. Two more hours for you to come in here and register to win. It's free. It's easy. You just give a little info to Amanda at the table next door to us, and you can win tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. You don't have to be present to win. You just have to be present in here. As the foot traffic, Willie, has been very steady in here all day. We've only been here 2 hours, yeah. Two-plus hours, and there's been a lot of people in here getting ready for the weekend.
And so don't miss your chance. Jump in, grab a chance to win some tickets here. Get ready for all of your activity over the weekend. What a great sports weekend this is here. Championship Sunday is always special, even if your team's not in it. But the fact that the Titans are in there, wow, this is going to be awesome. You've got the Predators at home on a Saturday night, last game before the All-Star break. So there's a lot going on.
Whiteout in the
Vanderbilt
building
Tennessee
tomorrow.
In hoops.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Somebody's got to win. That's the
somebody's
good news.
Somebody's going to get a win.
Vanderbilt Tennessee, somebody's going to win. I'm not sure who. The way both of them have been playing. Although Tennessee got a nice win. I mean, they won on a buzzer beater.
Right. Tennessee is not what they were last year.
No.
But they're still compared to when Vanderbilt's loss of Aaron Nesmith is just so
crushing.
Tough. So tough.
Crushing.
I just hate it for Jerry Stackhouse because I thought he was building a really nice foundation around what he had. Now he's really going to have to pull a Houdini act here. I liked how they fought against Arkansas. Arkansas is pretty good, I think. By the end of the year, I think you're going to see Arkansas in the field. Of 64 or 68, but Vanderbilt will have to work hard for everything they get now with that really young roster that they have and depleted roster.
You were showing me something about the basketball team, right?
Yeah, they got some great news. An alum has decided to donate $5 million to the basketball program, which I understand will be matched by the university, so it is $10 million that will be poured in to the basketball program specifically. So, you know, they had already, you know, when Malcolm Turner came in, he made no secret really that he was going to put some resources behind the basketball program. You see the size of the staff that Jerry Stackhouse has. Now you get this. So that's really good news for the program long term. It's not going to help them for
right.
The next few games trying to get through this tough time. I don't know if I've ever seen back-to-back years, two different players who are first-round picks go down like they have. Wow.
Right, two guys that are so vitally important to their team, right?
Yeah, on a roster
Garland,
that's thin.
Nesmith made it a little bit longer. Garland made it three games? Three and a half games? Nesmith made it late December? Early January.
He was, I don't know where he ranked. He was among the nation's leading
top
scorers.
Five. Top five in the country.
23 points a game. Yeah. I mean, legit shooter and a great all-around player.
All right.
Extremely hard.
For You Just Made the List, a pair of three-day passes to Bonnaroo in Manchester in June. The winner will also receive a car camping pass. This is a huge prize for You Just Made the List, but you're going to have to get involved with us. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Bonnaroo lineup includes Tool, who I know is coming to Bridgestone Arena, Lizzo, Miley Cyrus, there's Vampire Weekend, there's a whole long list. You know Bonnaroo's a big deal, and it's a big, huge festival. Plus, we're going to give you a car camping pass, but you have to call in, and you have to tell us who or what is on your list.
There's some easy targets this week, I would say.
There are, and I will just start. Mine is low-hanging fruit, and I'm just going to go there. Antonio Brown, man. Yuck. You just got fired from Drew Rosenhaus. You got fired by the Miami Police Department. They were in – you guys were doing work together, and they have removed themselves with you, I think, with charity events. Yuck, man. Get your stuff together. I don't think you're ever going to play again. And you're just a hot mess, man. You are – this video that came out, get yourself in check, dude. I don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown, but yikes, man. You are on the list for sure. And
is he ever off the list,
well,
honestly?
Fair.
Like,
fair.
I don't know if he just made the list. He's been
on
the list.
But this one is like a – it's like a just a new layer
it's a new
that's just
thing.
Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? What in the world are you doing? And why are you putting this out there for everybody to see? It's not like somebody's posting this about – you're putting it out there. Why? Are you proud of that?
I think I'm putting myself on the list because I was entertaining. I was like, they ought to take a look at this. Remember when he was available?
Oh, yes.
I was the one saying maybe it's time to push the envelope and try this. Man, am I glad they didn't do that.
Imagine if they went down that road?
Oh, my gosh. What was I thinking?
And the other one is we talked about this yesterday. Major League Baseball, come on, man. Not – because they are coming out with harsh penalties, but what's going on right now, man? They have got to get this cleaned up. This is going to be yet again another stain and a black eye for Major League Baseball. All this cheating that's going on. Again, it's a different level and it's a different storyline, but it's yet again another horrific look for MLB. And Jessica Mendoza, like, you shouldn't be telling on your teammates. You know what goes on in the clubhouse stays. No, stop that, stop that. I'm all for what's best for baseball, but Mike Fiers shouldn't have. No, you're not all what's best for baseball if you are coming out and saying Mike Fiers shouldn't have said that.
Now, I'm thankful that he said it. Thank goodness he said it, or else we'd have this problem for more years. All right, Darren, I will tell you this. This is another case of the low hanging fruit. Odell Beckham Jr. is on the list. And if I'm an LSU fan, I'm putting him on the list.
This week
what's
is
he doing?
Full of low-hanging fruit.
What's he doing?
Did you see? We told you yesterday that he got an arrest warrant out for him. Did you see him slapping the police officer on the behind?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one thing. But
the officer turned around and looked at him like, what are you
but at least
doing?
If you're going to be that dumb, that's on him, right, for doing. But when he does... And I understand. He's excited. His school has won the title. He's on the field. Everybody looks up to him. But why, when you know you're on camera, you're handing out cash? What?
Dumb.
What?
Dumb.
Because
dumb.
That doesn't affect him. It just puts every single person in their compliance department. You could laugh at it all you want. You could scoff and say, okay, who cares, man? It's don't sweat the small stuff. He handed out some bills. I get that, but... You know this. You were there. You understand that you can't do that.
That, by the
way, out in the open.
It's the national championship.
Just go back to the hotel if you want to do that.
Cameras everywhere.
They're all over the place.
What are you
on the field? Like
these guys. Shake your head.
I mean, what? Now the players, like, it's kind of like you're caught up in the moment. Like, if hands you,
and it's Odell Beckham Jr., like, you're 18,
what are you
going to
do? Drop it?
21? I mean, of course.
I'll just put it in my pocket. Do I have pockets in my football pants?
Throw it back at him? I mean, what do you
put it in my shoulder pads or something? Like, do you throw your hands up and like, ooh, like it's hot or something?
I can't
accept that, Mr. Beckham.
No,
Mr. Beckham, I can't accept that. But. Why would you put your team in that? I mean, now they got a mess. They got to go make it right with the incident. They got to go through all these hoops. I mean, this is dumb. Have a brain.
What was it? Night at the Museum? Hey, dumb. Come over here, dumb.
Come on, Odell. Use your noodle.
These guys. Dumb. All right, loaded lines. We'll come back. We're going to rifle through a lot of phone calls. Jump in there when one opens up, 737-1025. When we come back, your phone calls, who or what is on your list?
Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, as we sit here, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, 1935 Mallory Lane, and they brought over some goodies, Willie, during the break. Some goodies, and they set it right in front of you. to tempt you while we're on the air.
Oh, this is going to be good. We're going to give you the details on this because this we're going to plant the seed for Valentine's Day.
Yep.
For some of you out here. They got a special that they're going to be telling you about that goes right with some of the wines and spirits here that they have. You can put the whole package together.
Boy, do they have a selection.
Yes, they do.
I may or may not peruse the store after the show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably leaning toward May. Now let's get to your phone calls. 737-1025, tell us who or what is on your list. Doug, get us started.
Guys, I had something that just recently made the list in the last 30 minutes. You know, our cars have issues sometimes. Things happen. So open the door, window falls down in the door. You know, hey, it happens. So my mechanic tells me that we can order the part, get it fixed. Go to the parts house place. They sell that window motor regulator for every door but the driver's side door. You got to go back to the dealership. I go to the dealership, and he tells me the price. So the vehicle brand that starts with an L and ends with an S, you made the list. Would you guys like to know what a window door regulator would cost for the driver's side door?
You're talking to the wrong guys, Doug.
$1,135.13.
Yikes. I would not have said that.
And I said, let me just go ahead and make the whole bill $1,136. You can keep the 13 cents with that kind of look. And he said, it is what it is. I can buy a whole door for $1,000.
So, wow.
The company
that
makes cars, and it's been a good car. The cable broke. It happens. So if you start with an L and end with an S and you have to buy parts, be prepared to be raked over the coals. Because that company, even though you've been a good car, and your parts are outrageous, you've made the list. I've got to go have a long lunch, fellas.
Doug, you have a good weekend. Doug has always got something going on.
Something's going on with Doug every week.
Crazy going on in his life. Always. I would not have guessed over $1,000 for that.
Jeez, that's harsh.
737-1025, that has a line available to you. Remember, Bonnaroo, 3-day passes to Bonnaroo on the line in Manchester in June, plus a car camping pass. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, who or what is on your list?
To the fake windshield wiper holding the rope, following the bandwagon fan, who is 1 week there, they're the worst team ever, and then all of a sudden they're in your face about that they made the best decisions and all that stuff. Make a decision to the side and quit being a windshield wiper fan.
Okay.
Just made the list.
Are there any of those?
If you check Twitter,
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. That's, by the way, that's every sport, every market.
It's every sport, every market.
I
get the frustration. I have emphasized over the years, just take a deep breath right after the game sometimes and wait till the next day before you really just go out. I understand you just shoot from the hip sometimes after you think it's the world is ending. I'm with you. Everybody feels the same way after a game. You're emotional when you want to win so bad, but some of the stuff that gets tweeted the next day, I got to wonder if those people go back and go, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
That probably goes
and
on.
I'm not talking about any one team.
Right.
In this case, I think he was referring to the Predators, but it's every team.
Oh, I think he's talking about the Titans, Predators. It's like I said, every team,
you could,
every sport, every market.
You could hear some stuff said about the Titans in week 6 that was probably pretty harsh.
Sure.
They got out of it. They dug out of it.
May have heard some stuff that was pretty harsh on this show.
Yes.
But they dug out. JJ, who or what is on your list?
Okay. In the vernacular of the WWE, the Houston Astros are going from a baby face to a heel. As a Yankee fan, I'm happy because that means they're going to get booed every time they're on the road this year with this cheating scandal. So they need to go ahead and accept that they're the villain now. MLB finally has a villain not named the Yankees, then they have made my list.
There may not be any more truer words than what JJ just said. The Yankees always been the villains. Yeah. And he's right. The Astros, it's going to get very interesting on the road this season.
I wonder.
They are probably going to hear a lot of stuff from the fans when they step out on the field. Lots. And you know what? They'll deserve it.
No doubt. This is a game changer.
No doubt. Jason, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. I just learned something while I was on hold. I will never buy a Lexus. Anyways, I've been doing some research on Super Bowl tickets for when the Titans join the Packers and the Steelers as the only three teams to beat all top three seeds in their division to get to the Super Bowl. So Super Bowl I, average ticket prices were $12 is what I found out. And on NFL Ticket Exchange right now, the lowest price for a Super Bowl ticket is like $5,280 or something.
Oh.
$5,280 or something like that.
What,
so,
but what's face? What's face today? Do we know what face value
face?
Is?
I think
isn't it like $750?
If season ticket holders win the lottery because you're drawn for the tickets. I think it's like $950. So.
Okay, so it's pushing $1,000 face value. Okay,
exactly. So, with that being said, cost inflation and the people setting the ticket prices that want to go root for their team in the biggest game of the entire history of the franchise, and you know, if and when they make it in the season, obviously, that you just made the list.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Good stuff. Threw in a little humor in there as well. That was funny.
Super Bowl I, not sold out.
Oh, no.
Not even close.
It's a
big place. L.A. Coliseum, I think, right?
What was it? The Steelers and the Vikings down in, was it New Orleans? That was at Tulane or something, right? That Super Bowl?
Well, that was Super Bowl IX.
They weren't even close to selling that one out.
Some shaky weather there, too.
Yeah, it was some shaky weather. Yes, there was. Let's go down to the borough. Barrett, who or what is on your list?
Barrett. Hello, Barrett.
Are you there? Going once. Twice. Gone. All right. How about Hank? Hank, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. It's a group of fans. And this is the type of week, this is the time of year, time of a season where they're really starting to make themselves known. It's the people who can't handle there being more than their sport or more than their team. It's almost like it's a zero-sum game. The Titans can't do well if the Predators do well, or the Predators can't do well if the Titans do well. And why pay attention to Vanderbilt football if there's Nashville Sounds baseball? And it's the folks who just, they get mad at y'all. They get mad at y'all. Why are they talking about the Titans so much this week? Well, it's because they're going into the AFC Championship game. And you weren't mad 2 years ago when it was all Predators talk when they were in the Stanley Cup Final. And I'm just one of those. I think you should be able to say everyone's doing well, everything's great, and don't be one of these people who get hurt because they're not paying attention to your team or to your sport. But then when the community or radio or news or the rest of the country starts paying attention to your team or your sport, then don't turn around and start calling them bandwagon fans. So it's like we can all have fun and we can all enjoy whatever game we want to enjoy, whatever team we want to enjoy, when we want to enjoy.
Well said, Hank. Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Something a little closer to home for us that we can appreciate along the lines of what Hank was talking about. The best is what we have to deal with. And look, it's just part of it. It's no big deal. It's not going to change. It's part of what we do is the person that tunes in to, let's say, an hour and 45 minutes into the show, and we're not talking about what they want to hear, and then they complain.
Yeah.
It's like
that guy.
Well, we've been on the air for an hour and 45 minutes.
Did you? What about the first hour and a half?
There's still 2 hours and 50 minutes afterwards. So just because when you turned us on, we weren't talking about what you wanted to hear, you're going to complain.
This is the day and age we live in.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I know. It just
people want what they want when they want it.
It does give us a chuckle.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change. It's not going to go away.
It's not going away. We cannot have simultaneous conversations about five different subjects.
I think Barrett down in Murfreesboro is back with us.
He's got a comeback.
Who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. I really feel Doug's pain. Window regulators are a real pain in the rear end. But here's a pro tip. You can go to the scrapyard and pull one for about $40. So for whatever that's worth.
And then what?
You install it and you use your window.
You, meaning me?
Like us? Like Doug? Like we have to install it?
Or are we calling you, Barrett?
Well,
sounds like you know how to do this.
I'll do it for a whole lot less than $1,100, I'll tell you that.
We'll talk.
Anyway, I believe he will, and I believe Barrett knows how to do it, but we cannot do that.
Fair enough. But, Darren, you stole my list, basically, but it's Antonio Brown, but for a different reason, okay? I mean,
okay.
He really is off the rails, and the video is reprehensible. When the police athletic league gives you your money back, and
right.
Drew Rosenhaus bails on you, you've really lost it, but here's the different thing I'm not sure anybody knows. He has having a Twitter beef with this YouTuber, and he's training who wants to put him in the octagon and have a physical pugilism. So he's trying to fight this white guy who they're arguing on Twitter, and it's just some random YouTube guy that's been giving him grief. But somebody has got to just rein that fella in. It is just high time. So anyway, I hope you gentlemen have a great weekend.
You too, Barrett. Honestly, in all seriousness, I feel like something's wrong with him. Like I don't know if he's dealing with something after football or if this is just what he is, and it's come out. And a lot of people have speculated, you know, he got fame and fortune, and he just turned into who he's always been. I don't know, but he right now is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
There's no doubt. I don't know if you guys have done this yet, but I know a lot of people have. If you have Netflix, watch the Aaron Hernandez thing. This is a different category, a way different category. But when you start trying to figure out why do some of these guys do what they do, you just wonder what compels you? Is it a combination of getting hit, the painkillers, all of the things? You don't know the answer. Nobody knows the answer.
Having too much time on your hands. Like you just wake up every day, you got no schedule, you got nothing to do.
Having a lot of money,
is it boredom? And you're rich. I don't
having hanging around the wrong people.
I don't know.
There's a combination of a million things it could be, but it just has you wondering how can you possibly make the decision now.
By the way, I got home from the Preds game last night, and I was like very tempted, but I pressed you yesterday. How long is it? And you said all the episodes. It's about 3 hours, and I was like, I'm going to get into this. I'm not staying up 3 hours. So I did do it.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to.
You're going
to
want to do it.
Try to find time this weekend. But last night I was like, I can't because I'm going to get hooked. And I'm going to watch it on Netflix and I'm going to be up all night watching this thing. So I didn't do it.
Now, did you see this? Here's the opposite of the charity rejecting. Like, hey, we don't want you to be our. So how about this with Khalil Mack? Did you see this?
No.
Khalil Mack, in his hometown of Fort Pierce, he did a really nice thing. He cut an $80,000 check to Walmart and said, I want you to pay for – people have put things on layaway, need a little help, they're on a payment plan. I'm going to pick up the tab. Great gesture.
We see those stories all the time around the holidays, right?
Fantastic. So what does Walmart do down there? Now, this is not a reflection of the Walmart. There's a gazillion Walmarts all across the country. But down there, they said, oh, that's interesting. We only have $60,000 of stuff on layaway, so we'll do that. We'll take the other $20,000 and just
pocket it.
Stop. No, what they did, they gave the cash split among the workers, and another employee is said to have alerted Walmart officials, and now they have had to launch an internal investigation. So they split up the other money amongst the workers. You're not supposed to do that. $20,000.
What is wrong with people?
Come on, Walmart.
All right, we'll come back. Another bank of phone calls. We've got loaded lines, a great prize attached to it. We'll do one more segment of your phone calls. This is good stuff. Who or what is on your list next? have here Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, 1935 Mallory Lane. You got about a little bit less than an hour and a half to sign up and win Predators tickets for an upcoming home game. Come up to our table, actually to the right of us. There's a table set up. Fill out your info, and at 2 o'clock we will draw a name. Lots of foot traffic in here today. Everybody getting ready for the weekend. And right now we're finding out what's made you mad this week. Who's made you mad? And what we've got on the line is Bonnaroo tickets. 3-day passes to Bonnaroo in Manchester in June. Also, you'll get a car camping pass. The lineup includes Tool, Lizzo, Miley Cyrus, Vampire Weekend. You know, it's a big deal. Big event. Long list. 737-1025. One person fell off, so there is a line available. Let's go to Steven. Steven, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. This is not a knee-jerk reaction, but David Poyle has made my list.
Okay, why?
I feel like up until maybe that Stanley Cup run, he was making shrewd, calculated, smart and intelligent roster moves. Once he missed out on the Cup, and he probably had a birthday shortly thereafter and realized he didn't have much more time in this game, not a lot of his moves has panned out. You know, you got guys like Rocco Grimaldi and Arvidsson and Bonino and Yossi. Those guys come and they leave it all on the ice. But can you, do you really get the same feeling with guys like Johansson and Duchesne and, I mean, Forsberg? I mean, it feels like these guys are more about the highlight and the celebrity of it. And it just seems like this roster is broken. And to me, I don't see an end to it. I think it's just going to be a pretty mediocre roster until some big changes come, and the only person you can point that to is Poyle.
What would be big changes in your mind, Steven?
Besides Bonino, all the centers have got to go. Johansson is not an $8 million center. Duchesne isn't. If you were to put a numerical value, a ranking to Johansson and Duchesne, do you think they would be plus or minus a top 20 center in this league? Because both those guys' salaries are top 20 salaries, and I bet you we could probably name 25 to 30 centers in this league that, you know, in a fantasy world, if we could acquire, we would rather have over Johansson and Duchesne. And I think down the middle, we do not have the finishers and the playmakers that we need. We have nice pieces. Johansson's a good second-line center. Duchesne is a good second-line center. But really, if you're an opposing team coming up against the Preds and you're like, we have to stop one guy, you go to a defenseman first. You're focusing in on stopping Roman Yossi, and then it's like, well, yeah, if we can stop Roman Yossi, we're fine with the rest of the chess pieces. And so I think that's the biggest issue. Poyle has developed this roster to have a quantity approach to offense as opposed to a quality approach to offense. So that's where I would make my changes, is probably down the center of the ice.
Okay. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
It is mystifying. I as you sit here today, the way this season has gone, it's easy to say, you know, the pieces aren't fitting together properly, et cetera, all the things we discussed all year. But to say since the Stanley Cup run, they were the President's Trophy winner the next year, and they won the Central last year. They won a lot of games with the moves that they have made. So that makes this season even more mystifying. I get the whole thing of the offense isn't clicking, these guys aren't driving the offense, but they are still in the top seven, I think, in goals per game. It's really the goals that they're allowing is the bigger problem, which is why that's a big reason why they changed coaches here. But I get it. You know, when you make $8 million, people are going to say that, right? And Ryan Johansson and nor Matt Duchesne nor Kyle Turris can sit there and say they're having a great year. That is not the case, right? But the problems are not on just that. It's a collective thing. So when you're struggling, you're going to get calls like that. I get it. But it's to say since the Stanley Cup run, they've done pretty well. They've had some good moments.
Well,
since then,
it's not like
it's all bad.
Look, I understand it's a general manager's job.
Was anybody screaming not to sign Matt Duchene?
Personally,
was anybody screaming sign Ryan Johansson?
That's where I'm going with that. Well, I don't know about not.
Just not sign him?
Well, you're right, because it was
it
was right after the Stanley Cup Finals, so sure.
I think it was after the was it after the Stanley Cup Final or after the President's Trophy season? Either
one. I thought it was after the Stanley Cup Final, right, because of how he played lead up to that point before getting hurt in the Western Conference Final. But anyway, it is a general manager's job to, you know, to trade and to try to make great trades. And trades are a risk. They're a huge risk. They always are. They always will be in any sport. John Robinson, I think, has done a really good job with trades. Those trades have worked out quite well for him. He's been doing it for a much, much smaller time frame, much smaller. Four years to 37 years, okay? David Poile here of late, some would say at the trading deadline, most would say it hasn't worked out. But kind of going along the lines of what you just said, I don't remember taking one call from one fan that was upset that they traded for Mikael Granlund, Brian Boyle, and Wayne Simmonds. Everybody seemed to be really happy and really on board, especially with Granlund and Simmonds at the deadline, right in the 11th hour. Right, those deals happened. Boyle was a little bit before that. I don't remember anybody, and Boyle was pretty good. But for whatever reason, Simmonds didn't work out. But everybody was happy. We took calls for years about Wayne Simmonds. Got to get Wayne Simmonds here. How many Wayne Simmonds calls did we take over the years to get him here? Well, he got here. It didn't work out. So was that the general manager's fault? I mean, I don't know. I guess if you want to blame him, he made the trade. But we took calls for years for Wayne Simmonds. Everybody wanted Wayne Simmonds. He got here. He's a great guy. It didn't work out. What do you want him to do? What do you want anybody to do? Mikael Granlund, everybody was excited about that. It hasn't worked out to this point. He had a goal last night. He's got 8 on the season. He's not on pace for what he was doing in Minnesota. I don't know why it hasn't worked out to this point for Granlund. But everybody was excited. Everybody was excited when it happened.
Well, same thing with Matt Duchene or the signing of Ryan Johansson. Did you really want him to just let him
walk?
You shouldn't re-sign Ryan Johansson?
I don't remember a call about anyone saying, Matt Duchene, really? Like, I don't remember that call. Maybe you can refresh my memory this summer. I don't remember people being upset over the signing of Matt Duchene.
Now, in a perfect world, could you, you know, adjust things and do like the NFL does and not guarantee contracts and not have – but this is what it costs. When you commit to sign a major free agent or a guy that's going to become a free agent at that position, that's what it costs. You got to make a 7-8-year commitment. That's what it costs. And it may not always go perfectly. These guys aren't perfect players. You can't tell the future, but that's what you have to do. Every team does it the same way.
Just so you know, Steven, I'm not directing this. I thought you made some really good points. I have no issues with you or anybody who feels the way that they do. I get it. The team is struggling. You're frustrated. It's more than fair. I totally get it. It's not even directed at you. I'm just saying let's all also take a step back and a deep breath and realize that when those things happened – everybody was ecstatic. The next day was joy in this market. Our show went wall to wall for 4 hours, and it was people beyond excited for those deals. It didn't, and it hasn't to this point worked out. I don't know what else you can do.
He made some good points, but it's a little harsh to say since the Stanley Cup run. They've won a lot of games.
Yep.
They've won a lot of games, okay? The postseason, I realize it. Great teams, I mean really, really good to great teams, lose in the first round every year or in the second round. Only one team wins it. This team has been a really good team that has won a lot of games.
By the way, we have
this
said.
This point in the season has been very frustrating,
top six,
no question.
It's got to be better. We've said it many times on the show. The top six has got
to be better.
There's no way of getting around that.
They have been better.
To your point, there's no way of getting around. The top six has to get more production. They're getting paid well. There has to be more production if this team is going to make truly the run that everybody's looking for the rest of the way. Let's go to John. John, who or what is on your list?
Blatant bandwagon fan. for example, I'm a college student, so on campus I have classes with one individual. For example, last year he's a big Predator and decked out in Predators gear all the time. That's great. But, you know, as soon as the Predators kicked out of the playoffs and the Blues go and win, he suddenly has all this St. Louis Blues gear on, and he wears it all the time.
What?
So, yeah, all, I mean, it's insane. So, you know, here's, his recent endeavors have been, as soon as, you know, he wears Patriots and Seahawks gear every day. I mean, he's a big sports guy, I'll give him that. But as soon as Patriots in Seattle are kicked out of the playoffs, and you come in that Monday with a brand new Tannehill jersey on, that does it for me. That's just, it's come on now.
That's absurd. John, do you want to name names or do you want to leave his name out of it?
No, I'm just going to leave names out.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure you have the forum if you want to name names. It's a legit gripe.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right, thanks for the call. That's good. Yeah, that guy's got to be on the list. Ann, who or what is on your list?
I am putting a specific Titan fan on the list today.
Okay.
I'm talking about the fan that goes to the Titans games at Nissan Stadium and calls into the show and complains about the opponent's fans being in our Nissan Stadium. And I hear today there's 6,300 seats available at Arrowhead on Sunday.
Really?
I'm imploring Titan fans, let's get in the car, pull the trigger, let's go to KC. I was at the Kansas City game this season, and it was a sea of red.
Yep.
In Nissan Stadium. It was. And I walked out of the stadium singing with other Titan fans, go home, go home. And it is time that we turn their red stadium. Let's get blue in there, Titan fans. I just bought 7 tickets all together. My husband and I are taking 5 senior boys, 18-year-old boys. We're leaving tomorrow morning. Just get in your car. Let's do it. Let's all meet in Lot C together and tailgate before this game. It's time to stop complaining about them being in our stadium and go to Arrowhead. Come on, Titan fans.
I like it, Ann. I like it.
All right, Ann.
I love
she
it.
She is fired
I
up.
Want
this
some more
great.
Of it. That's good.
She is psyched.
Is that true? There's still tickets available?
Maybe on the secondary market? I don't know if that – you're paying
– I don't think that's what she's
saying.
There's
value
always tickets on the secondary market.
Well, let's –
she's acting like –
well, let's just
I took it
here.
As she's saying, hey, we've still got more tickets available. Ticket window's open. Chris, who or what is on your list?
My dad is on my list.
Oh, why?
After the Vandy, Arkansas game, he sends me a text. I don't know if Stackhouse is any better than Bryce Drew. Well, first of all, he's been there 9 months. Are you going to tell a woman 9 months into her pregnancy she's not going to be a good mom? No, I don't think so. He's lost 2 transfers before he even got the job. 40% of his starting lineup, his leading scorer, SEC leading scorer. You think if Saban lost 8.8 of his 22 players, he's going to win? You think if Tim Corbin loses 3.6 of his 9 players, he's going to keep winning? I don't think so. Papa Ray, you just made my list.
I like it. Chris brought the facts, too, some stats.
He had percentages.
Some percentages. I like that. All right, we will come back, give a winner, and come back and close out hour number 3 next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. If I remember correctly, Willie, we were at Titans training camp the last time we talked to our next guest.
Yes, we were.
It was a little bit warmer that day. Or a lot warmer.
Quite a bit warmer.
We say hello to Matt Beatty. I'm pretty sure I remember. My memory isn't great.
Oh, we absolutely did.
I think it was when we were out of Titans training camp. And now we sit here talking about the Titans getting ready for the AFC Championship game. I don't think any of us saw that coming. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me again.
So, since you, I guess we got word that you were traveling back here for your event. So, are you not living here in the off season?
No, I lived in just outside of LA this off season in Pasadena, okay. Actually. But yeah, this is the first time that I'm back this off season. I'm excited, especially with the buzz that's going around with the Titans now, and just be back in Nashville. It's great.
Well, the good news is, Matt, if you spend any time here now that you're back, the traffic will make you feel like you're still in L.A. So that'll be good, you know, make you feel at home.
Exactly. Nashville's a hot commodity now, and everybody wants to move there. And the traffic stinks, but everything else is great, for sure.
No, no doubt about it. You've got an event going on at Belmont. I want everybody to hear about it. That's why we're having you on. Of course, we'll talk a little baseball as well. But can you tell us about it and tell anybody out there who's interested how they can attend?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the Belmont baseball kickoff banquet. I think it's the third year that they've done it. It's just a little Q&A with me and George Plaster. We're going to just kind of go over what my season looked like this year and what my journey was like through baseball and just talk about life and talk about my time at Belmont. We're just going to talk a lot of things. And, you know, I think it's lining up to be a pretty cool night. Excited to come back and just talk baseball and talk with everybody and see everybody that I haven't seen in a while. And, it's at Judith Baptist Church, I believe, and it's tonight around 6 o'clock. I'm not exactly sure the time. That's bad on my part. But, we're just excited about it, and it's going to be a good time.
Well, let's
now hold on a second, Matt. Who did you say was the MC? Hold on. Who did you say?
George Plaster.
We know George very well. Let's fill in the details, and Matt was right on it. It is at 6 o'clock tonight at the Judson Baptist Church on Franklin Pike. And so I hope a lot of people go out to this. I know George works very hard to put this together. He's done a few of these now.
Yep.
It's great that Matt has come back, who played, of course, at Belmont and had a great year with the Dodgers this year. So looking forward to that. Well, Matt, let me ask you this, because, you know, playing for the Dodgers, as you know, I mean, I'm sure you guys will discuss this some tonight, but in the wake of everything that has happened here in the last 3 days, the Dodgers fans in particular seem to be sensitive to this, rightfully so, because they have come so close and had some tight fights with the Astros, in particular in that 2017 World Series. Just give us your thoughts of what's gone down the last few days with the sign stealing scandal.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. Cheating shouldn't be part of the game, and that's just, the punishment that the Astros got. I mean, I think everybody in the baseball community kind of feels like they deserve it. And it kind of tests the integrity of the game, and for Dodger fans and for the Dodger players that were on the team in 2017, You just feel like you had something taken away from you, and you don't feel like it was an even match. Everybody going out there and competing with the same resources and the same information. So that stinks for sure. And hopefully this punishment will kind of open people's eyes and that we don't run into this problem again. And hopefully everybody can kind of put it behind us now.
Yeah, I hope this weeds it out for good, because as you said, it should be a level playing field for everybody. Let me ask you about your prospects going forward. The Dodgers, one thing you know is how versatile they are, how deep they are, and you've done so well to fight up and grab a role for yourself. So what's your outlook for this coming season?
I'm trying not to focus on, what my role is going to be exactly. I just try to focus on, how I can improve to be the best player and give Doc and give the Dodgers front office let them know who I am, and they know who I am. They know what type of player I am and what I bring to their ball club. So for me, it's just about consistency and going out there, and also this offseason, just work on some of my deficiencies that I needed to work on in the offseason and just give myself the best opportunity to, help, the Los Angeles Dodgers win a World Series in 2020. And that's the goal right now.
And real quick, we had you on in the summer as you were in the midst of your rookie season and starting to really make a name for yourself. But and so we talked to you about this at the time, but just your memories going back, what the Belmont program did for you, your experience playing here in Nashville at Belmont.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I think a lot of kids nowadays get wrapped around going to you know, the big D1 colleges. You gotta go to this school to get drafted. You gotta check all these boxes off. But that's further from the truth. You gotta go somewhere that you like, that you feel comfortable, and you trust in the coaching staff to develop you as quick as possible to get you prepared for the next level. And for me, that was Belmont. Coach Jarvis, Scott Hall, Aaron Smith, you know, all those guys, Coach Barr, and they did a great job of, from day one, once I got on campus, making me feel welcome and also, you know, helping me develop the most as a player. And you know, Belmont played a tremendous part in getting me to where I am today.
Did the game slow down for you the more you played?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's with every level. When I first got drafted and I was playing rookie ball, the game was a little bit faster the first couple games. And then when you move up to low A, the game's a little bit faster. So the quicker that you find to be able to slow that down, the better your transition and the quicker success you're going to have. I learned that probably right in double A, because double A is what people say is when you really first get your first test of major league talent consistently. And had a coach, Termel Sledge, kind of, you know, talk about the mental game and how important it is to, you know, be able to slow the game down and just remember that you're still playing a game. It's just, you know, guys are just a little bit better and throwing harder and have better stuff.
I remember, last thing, Matt, I think I told you this story when we talked to you in at training camp that day, that I had gone to Denver and I had gone to a couple of Rockies games in late June, early July, and I saw a game against you guys. You had a really good game, and I saw a game against the Astros, and I came back saying it's going to be the Astros and the Dodgers in the World Series. I have no doubts about it. Those are the two best teams in baseball. I think that's why we love the game, right? It's so hard to predict, and you just have to get on that roll. I never saw the Nationals coming. Did you? Were you, you know, I would have never ever said it was going to be anybody but the Dodgers representing the National League. Were you surprised?
I mean, yeah, I think everybody thought it'd be us and the Astros, and that's what's great about the game of baseball is you got to play, you got to record all 27 outs, and you got to eliminate the opponent, and you got to have a little bit of luck on your side, and you got to have things rolling on your side. And for the Nationals, you know, they had everything clicking at the right time, and you know, their pitching staff was dominant, the guys that they were using, and it was cool to watch as a fan, but it also stunk being at home, knowing that we were perfectly capable of being there. For the Nationals, like I said, if you look at it was a 40 or 50 game mark, they had one of the top records in baseball from that point on. So, you know, they struggled in the beginning of the season, so that kind of put, you know, their record wasn't as what everybody thought they were. So they kind of made some adjustments throughout the year, and that's what the game of baseball is. So hats off to the Nationals.
Did you feel like they were going to take care of business in the end in the World Series? Because we had Kirk Casale in studio, and he was very adamant because obviously a National League guy, he had seen them, and he flat out told us, he's like, the Nationals are going to win it all when they got to that point. Did you feel the same way after you guys were eliminated?
I felt like they had a lot of momentum for sure. Yeah. And you know how baseball is, it's contagious. And once you get that confidence, that confidence carries a long ways. And you know, they carried it on to the next series against the Cardinals, and you saw what they did there. So it felt like they were never, you know, truly underdogs. It always felt like they were, you know, going to have a chance to win every single night.
Matt, it's always good to talk to you. Continued success. There's a lot of people in this area, in our listening area, rooting for you. Go get them again next year. But we'll talk to you before then. But best of luck tonight. We'll get the word out. And can people just show up and buy tickets and attend the event if they're hearing this for the first time?
Yeah, they can.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
We'll get the word out. Thanks for doing this.
All right, take care, guys. Thank you.
All right, that is former Belmont player Matt Beatty, of course, a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. We will come back and kick the hour off with Pick 6. That's next.